Samuel finding David. Of course, you know the story of King Saul. He was king over Israel until pride infected his heart.
Yeah.
He made some bad decisions to disobey God, so God rejected him as being king, and we know that just by looking at the last verse of chapter 15. But Saul's biggest problem was his refusal to repent. He knew what his sin was. Samuel helped him with that. He just wouldn't repent. And so it's something that we need to consider, because until we see our sin as sin, not a bad habit, or that's just who I am, I inherited this from my dad or my mom or my grandfather, he acted like this. Until we see our sin as sin, we won't repent either. So that makes my eyebrows go up, because what kind of position does that put us in with God? Saul was in that position. He just wouldn't call his sin sin. He blamed other people. He lied about it. So, God said to Samuel, we need to find another king. So let's look here in chapter 16, verse 1. The Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee." Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this particular passage. Lord, I thank you for bringing us here tonight. Lord, I ask that you would help me to say what I should and to deliver your message accurately to your people. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see what you want us to see. We thank you for that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
One thing I want to point out that I didn't even notice until I just read it. In verse 1, God, he gets on to Samuel. Because Samuel is mourning over Saul in that predicament. And I see that, I get it, because he's the one that anointed him to begin with. And he did do a good job in the beginning. It just turned sour, and because of it, God rejected him. Samuel was not oblivious to that. He's the one that told Saul that. But God wasn't mourning over this issue. In fact, the Bible says that he repented, which means he looked at that and thought, that's just terrible about Saul being king. So God was not mourning the issue. He wasn't upset about it. Samuel was. Samuel was a good man. Samuel was probably the greatest prophet of all time. But at this moment, he wasn't on the same page as God. And what that shows me is you and I have the same tendency.
Yes.
We can get up in the morning, we can get on our knees, we can pray, and we can commune with God. We can open our Bible. We can study our Bible. We can be doing all of that and for the right reason and still not be on the same page as God over something.
Yeah.
I wonder how bad we would be off the same page with God if we didn't spend time with Him.
Amen.
In the morning and throughout the day. But it just makes me see the importance of total dependency on the Holy Spirit to guide us, and the necessity to make that prayer that David made, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me." In other words, point out my sin, because I recognize I might miss it. Anyway, that was a commercial, and it was for free. I didn't really intend that to be part of the message tonight. But it's evident here as we read these verses that it's time for God to make a new king over Israel. Saul was spent. He speaks to Samuel, his obedient prophet. He tells him where to go and even the person's home to find the next king over Israel. But I want you to notice that God did not give Samuel the name of the next king.
Right.
He could have.
Yeah.
But he didn't. Why? He did the same thing with Abraham. Go to a land that I will show thee. Leave here now. I'm sure Abraham probably said, okay, where do you want me to go? God says, I'll let you know when it's time. He told Moses, go speak to Pharaoh. I'll tell you what to say when you get there. Obedience to God requires that first step of faith. And it is faith. Because we don't know.
Right.
We don't know what the next step is. We don't know what it all entails.
Right.
If God were to give us His full and complete plan, number one, we wouldn't obey Him because of the fear that we would see what all that He was going to require. But then number two, we probably wouldn't be obedient because there'd be no need of faith in God.
It's true.
Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And it requires faith to step out and say, okay, well, you want me to go that direction? I'll go that direction.
All right.
But I don't know where I'm going from here. It's okay, God says.
Yeah.
I will let you know that when it's time. But that's why He doesn't give us the full scope. We wouldn't follow. God puts us in situations like this to cause us to simply trust Him. Then look in verse 6 and 7. It says, and it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Aha, Samuel said, this is him. He's the tallest, best looking, most muscular. He's got a leader type of an attitude. This is him. God says, no, I don't think so. Not him. Keep looking. You and I, we see a talented, good looking young person, and we think, sometimes even say, God could sure use him or her. They're so talented. They're so gifted. The problem, though, with many people who are gifted is they know it. Pride keeps them from being used of God.
That's right.
It got Saul bumped. He was humble to start with, if you remember.
Yes.
But then pride set in, and he got bumped. But then you look in verse 11. The Bible says, "And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he." By the way, ruddy means good looking. It means reddish colored skin, not red in the sense of a problem, but red in the sense of healthy. David was healthy looking. And so when Samuel first questioned Jesse and said, "Look, you know, these guys aren't cutting it. Don't you have any more children?" And he said, "Well, yeah, we got David. Do you want me to get him?" I'm glad David wasn't there. I don't know if he felt that or not, but it's common that when you favor a particular child or favor anybody for that matter, they're going to catch on. If you don't, they're going to catch on. Well, David apparently was not the favorite. Probably that's why he was out there watching the sheep. Nobody liked that job. That was the job for the person who didn't have any other abilities. So Samuel's probably thinking, God has sent me on a wild goose chase. He's brought all of his sons in front of me, and God hasn't told me that any one of them is the right one. So of course he asked. I think Jesse wanted it to be one of his older sons. I also think that Jesse knew what Samuel was going to do, which is why he was wanting it to be one of his older sons. But that wasn't God's plan. And sometimes our plan doesn't match up with God's plan. Right. Solomon said in Proverbs 16:9, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." It's not wrong to make plans. In fact, it's a good thing to do. And if you don't have a plan or a goal, you're probably going nowhere. But when God changes your plans, it's for the better.
Amen.
Accept it. Don't fight it. Just be obedient. So they sent for David, and in walks this red-cheeked young man, and God said, "That's him." Look back at verse 1. "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." Now we're here. Samuel is in Jesse's presence with his sons. David walks in. God says to Samuel, "That's him. Anoint him." Back in verse 1, which was the day before, God told Samuel, "I have prepared me a man to be king." This preparation began before Saul was made king.
Right.
Think about that for just a minute. God is working in our lives long before we think.
Amen.
It's not like God just looked down and said, "Oh, got to take care of that." He is planning things way ahead of when we're thinking about it.
That's right.
David was being prepared by God years before this day. And of course, David's been out with the sheep. And I'm sure it wasn't his first time, or he wouldn't have been by himself. He's been doing this for a good while. He's probably been doing it for years. But it makes me ask the question, what is it about being alone in the wilderness, taking care of a bunch of stinky sheep, that built David? Why did Moses spend 40 years doing something similar before God could use him?
That's right.
Why did Joseph have to endure all that he did for around 20 years before God could use him? It apparently takes time for God to mold us and to shape us,
yes,
into the vessel that is usable.
Mm.
That's important. It's important for us to see, because sometimes you and I, especially if we've been saved for a good while, or if we've been in church for a long time, it's easy for us to see someone who's just recently gotten saved. They're only a year or two old spiritually, or three, maybe four. And we expect them to see things just like we do. That's not going to happen. If it took Moses 40 years and Joseph 20 years, we don't know how long it took David. He did seem to mature a little quicker than the other two. That may have had something to do with his willingness. I don't know. I do know this. The more willing we are, and the more humble we are, makes us more teachable, which then turns into making us more usable. But the question remains, what is it about being alone in the wilderness, watching a bunch of stinky sheep, that built David? Have you ever felt like you were alone? Taking care of seemingly pointless responsibilities that only brought you aggravation, or maybe even pain or suffering? And wondered, "God, what are you doing?" Moses, remember, he felt at 40 years old that he was ready. He'd been trained by the best. He was very intelligent, and he was. He was extremely capable. And he knew the story of the little basket in the bulrushes. He knew that God had protected him and chosen him. But he wasn't humble. He thought that because of his abilities, his knowledge, his training, that he was ready. And he wasn't.
That's right.
He needed to be with the stinky sheep. But I've been there. And I may have told the story before. But after leaving Camp Tracy, I was hauling cars, driving down the road. One of the most boring jobs you'll ever do.
Yeah.
I honestly can't see how truck drivers do that and enjoy it, but they do. It's in their blood. It's not in mine. So that's where I was, driving down the road. And it was getting on me. I didn't like it. I was actually concerned that maybe God had put me on the shelf due to sin or something. And I got to thinking about that and actually praying about it. And I was praying and I said, God, I don't know what you're doing, but this ain't good. If you've put me on the shelf because of some sin, please show it to me. I sure don't want my wife or my children suffering because of my sin, my bad choices. Please show it to me. And it was I felt like I was in the wilderness with the stinky sheep. But then the Lord showed me that it wasn't a pointless activity. I did have a ministry, even then.
That's right.
I did speak with people daily throughout the day, all throughout the day, some of them on the phone and some of them in person. And I could share Jesus with them. And I could encourage them in some way.
Yeah.
And I wasn't doing that. But I started doing that. And God showed me that I had a ministry in that. I'm thankful He let me out of that wilderness. But sometimes He has to take us through that.
Yes.
To mold us and to shape us. Do you feel like you're in the wilderness? A dry time, maybe? Taking care of pointless responsibilities that only bring you pain, aggravation. I think this is a time where God helps us to come to grips with our real purpose. And to be humble and to wait on Him to do what He's going to do when He's going to do it. By the way, being humbled is not a one-time thing. For some of us, it can be a daily thing.
Yes, sir.
And before you know it, all of a sudden, we get humbled, and hours later, we're feeling that pride setting in all over again.
Help us.
So God has to constantly work on us and try to teach us that we need to work in His timing. Trust Him. Remember Saul, he started out humble like David. His dad, Kish, sent him to go find the missing donkeys, remember?
Yeah.
And he was quite humble. In fact, he didn't even feel worthy to be anointed as king. David didn't even reject that. When Samuel anointed David, he allowed that to happen. Not pridefully, but he didn't say what Saul did. Saul said, look, Not me. You've got the wrong guy here. I think you're mistaken. I'm the smallest tribes. I'm just not that guy. And even when it come time to make the proclamation that Saul was to be the next king, he was hiding.
That's right.
But he became proud of himself and his accomplishments. He bragged about himself. He even lied to make himself look good. Pride ruined him. If you feel like you're in the wilderness taking care of stinky sheep, it may be that God is trying to prepare you as He humbles you. And He's trying to prepare you for something bigger than what you're doing now. Don't get frustrated with the problem or the people. Just trust God to do what only He can.
Yeah.
Samuel was greatly used of God because he trusted and obeyed God. Remember his words as a young boy when he kept thinking that Eli was calling him, and Eli told him finally, "Look, the next time you hear that voice, this is what you say." So his words were, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Samuel decided early in life to seek after God diligently. I believe David did too. I'm not sure that Moses did, which is why he needed 40 years of training. God's training. After he got the first 40 years of Pharaoh's training, God had to deactivate all of that Pharaoh training so that he could show him that he was nothing. Like Brother Tommy said the other day, except a pile of dirt, which is what we all are. Joseph, not sure that he was seeking God early in life either, not diligently. Or maybe it wouldn't have taken 20 years to prepare him. But Samuel, he was this big. When he decided, "I need to seek after God, and I need to listen to Him, and I need to obey Him and follow Him and trust Him." And he did. And look what God did his entire life.
Amen.
Could I encourage you not to get frustrated with the predicament that you're in right now? You may feel like you're in the wilderness taking care of a bunch of stinky sheep. Sometimes those stinky sheep are people that you have to live with, work with, live next to, associate with. Just can't get away from them. Don't get frustrated with your position or your predicament, but instead look for God's hand in it. God is doing a work in all of us. He tries us. He tests us. He's trying to build us. And if we get frustrated in it, or get frustrated at the people that He is allowing to help us grow by their bad choices, then we're not going to grow. We're not going to pass that test. And you know what happens when you don't pass that test? You have to take it over again. So what we need to do is not get frustrated and trust God. He knows what He's doing. And really, really, most of it, most of the stuff that God is trying to squeeze out of us is our pride. God can't use us when we're proud. That's why Saul was rejected. That's why Lucifer was booted out of heaven. God can't use us when we're proud. Just trust God that in this difficult time that you might be in, He's trying to work on you. Look for His hand in it. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your word. Lord, I thank You so much for showing us that Your timing is perfect, that You know all things, that You're working in our life to make us, to shape us, to be more like Jesus, and to make us a usable vessel. Lord, help us not to fight that, but to allow Your Spirit to work in us and through us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
What song are we singing? 481. Let's all stand, if you would, and turn to 481. 481. You coming. Hopefully God showed you something like it did me.
Yes.
In His word. Please try to see God's hand working in your life, because it is.
Yes.
Okay. Let's pray and then we'll be dismissed. Brother Brian, would you lead us, please?
Lord, we thank You for Your word. Lord, thank You for loving us. Lord, we thank You for continuing to work in us. Lord, help us in our walk with You. Help us, Lord, to trust in You, and help us, Lord, to just wait on Your timing. We thank You for all that You do for us, Lord. Protect us as we leave here. Watch over our families. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.